Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. By the way, follow me on Twitter at Brian Lehrer. Like me on Facebook at Brian Lehrer WNYC. And just when you thought New York State government was becoming functional again, along comes the Assemblyman Vito Lopez sexual harassment scandal that is now embroiling the Assembly Speaker Sheldon Silver, the State Attorney General Eric Schneiderman, and the Comptroller Tom DiNapoli. The focus has moved from the harassment charges themselves against Lopez to the secret payments for more than $100,000 in taxpayer money to two of his accusers, a payment approved by Speaker Silver. The roles of the Comptroller and Attorney General remain murky. With me now, Dick Dady, president of the good government group, the Citizens Union, which has been leading the charge on this in various ways. Hi, Dick. Welcome back to WNYC.
Glad to be back, Brian. How are you?
Good, thanks. And this is so complicated, but also so interesting. And at least two things happened late last week while everybody was obsessing on the Democratic convention. The state ethics body known as JCOPE decided not to investigate Speaker Silver, while a judge gave a special prosecutor the authority to do just that, to investigate Silver while he's investigating Lopez. What would the special prosecutor, Dan Donovan, be investigating?
Dan Donovan, as far as we know, will be investigating two parts of this matter. One is Vito Lopez himself and the whether his activity as sexual harassment charges are elevated to criminal charges, and then also the way in which the Assembly, and specifically Speaker Silver, handled themselves in dealing with this matter. You know, there may be possible violations of the public officers law coming into play here. And JCOPE should have immediately jumped on this and started to look at this. But with news reports, as you just mentioned, Brian, did not last week. And they may be returning to expanding their own investigation today. They're meeting this morning to talk about this. And there's another special meeting that had not yet been scheduled.
JCOPE is the Joint Committee on Public
Commission on Public Ethics.
Public Ethics. And this is a relatively new ethics watchdog created by the governor and the legislature that was supposed to have more teeth than the system it replaced. Is JCOPE working as hoped, or is a design flaw being exposed here by their refusal to investigate one of the people who appoints its members?
It's coming up to speed. It's not yet up to speed, but there may be a design flaw in the voting structure here. We just don't know yet. But JCOPE is the first statewide entity to be given joint jurisdiction and its oversight of both executive and legislative branch ethics. Previously, there had been two separate entities looking over each branch of government. This new body has responsibility for joint oversight, which was one of the major achievements of it when it was passed into law last year. The problem is that in order for an investigation to proceed, the legislative leader whose chamber is the subject of the investigation, his appointees need to sign off on it. So even if a majority of the commission votes to launch an investigation, if the subject is a member of the chamber and one of the appointees of that leader does not vote, or at least one of those leader's appointees has to vote in favor of the investigation to move forward. So you may have a 10 to 3 vote, and it could be stopped if one of those three was from one of the legislative leaders.
Right. It could even be 13 to 1. But if the one dissenting vote was an appointee of Sheldon Silver, he can block an investigation of Silver. So eventually
Correct.
They'll have to deal with that. Although in Silver's defense, isn't there some merit to the idea that the ethics watchdog panel can't just be a puppet of the governor? Because then a governor could use it as a political weapon to weaken an assembly speaker, the executive branch grabbing power from the legislative branch. And some people think that's exactly what's going on here.
I know that some people think that, but I'm not quite sure how they jumped to that conclusion, because unlike the Commission on Public Integrity, which was its predecessor, the governor controlled a majority of the appointees. In this case, the governor only controls 6 of the 14 appointees. The other 8 are made by the 4 legislative leaders, with each of the 4 having 2 appointees. So it's really a legislatively controlled body in terms of the number of votes on the panel.
Listeners, anything you want to say or ask about the Vito Lopez scandal And it's Ripples, 212-433-WNYC, our phone number, 212-433-9692. Or you can post to WNYC.org, click on Brian Lehrer Show as we talk with Dick Dady from the Citizens Union. And on that secret payment itself, Dick, when we call it a secret payment, it sounds like skullduggery, but it was a confidential agreement voluntarily entered into by both parties. Silver says it was for the privacy of the victims of Assemblyman Lopez's sexual harassment. Is he just blowing smoke with that claim? Such victims often do want their privacy.
I think that there is some legitimacy to the claim being made by the speaker. I mean, clearly in a sexual harassment settlement, the victims often do not want to be identified. But what is strange about this is that he was the only one with knowledge of this. He didn't even refer the matter to the Assembly Ethics Committee or Jacob, which he should have done actually in the first place. So he chose to not only settle it confidentially with funds that no one had any idea that he had access to, but also without the involvement of others. And so it raises several red flags about, you know, what was his motivation in keeping this both, you know, keeping the discussion secret and the settlement confidential. Was it all about the privacy of the victims, or was there something else at play here, which is why we have called for Jacob to get involved, which is why we're pleased to see the Staten Island DA now getting involved, because, you know, the Silver has, you know, a conflict of self-interest in talking about this matter now. And so in order for the public to know what really happened and why it happened, we need these outside entities to do these investigations.
But do you have a theory? Do you have an alternative explanation as to why they might have kept it secret other than to protect the privacy of the victims?
I mean, they're, you know, Speaker Silver has had problems in handling sexual harassment charges in the past. His own lead counsel several years ago was accused of sexual harassment, and he was seen as not acting quickly or appropriately enough then. So his Achilles heel here is dealing with sexual harassment within the state assembly. So I also think that, you know, Vito Lopez was at the time of the first settlement a very powerful political figure in New York state politics. And that's what we'd like to see Jacob take a look at. Was the decision here to keep it secret somehow influenced by the tremendous power that Vito Lopez had and wanting to, you know, sweep it under the rug and push it aside in the hope that it would go away?
And is it accurate to say that it was actually not those cases that were settled with the secret payments, but two more recent sexual harassment charges that forced Silver to finally go public?
Yes, I mean, when the most recent sexual harassment charges that have been made that were made public first and handled by the Assembly Ethics Committee revealed that there had been a previous settlement. Even the Assembly Ethics Committee, when it was dealing with these later charges, and then chose to strip Lopez of his seniority and leadership posts, did not know that there had been just months before this private confidential settlement. If I was a member of the assembly involved in that, I would be outraged that in looking at the second matter, we didn't even know that the first matter had already been settled.
212-433-WNYC and Anchi in Flushing. You're on the air. Thanks for calling.
Yeah, hi. I was wondering, why is nobody outraged that this money has been paid from taxpayer money? I mean, you start wondering why you even pay money.
Anchi, thank you. So is it unprecedented or highly unusual for a settlement to be made with victims of a public official sexual harassment from the public fisc?
No, it's not. I mean, the state government is an employer, and, you know, there are sexual harassment charges that take place, and there are settlements, all kinds of legal settlements that are not just about sexual harassment, but other cases. What is troubling about this is that there was a fund that no one knew that the speaker had access to, that taxpayer funds were used to settle this case without anyone else's knowledge. That is what's so upsetting about it. The caller is exactly right. Who knew that such a slush fund existed to pay privately these settlements?
Wendy in Orange County, you're on WNYC. Hi, Wendy.
I was calling to say that I think a lot of the context about these women's privacy is being misconsidered. I think a lot of the current discussion is that it's about these women's, you know, their experiences as victims. But I think in my experience of kind of working in large organizations that a lot of times women who blow the whistle on sexual harassment are looked on later on as troublemakers, as problem creators, and as not team players, even when their complaints are considered to be valid. And so these women might want their privacy for their future jobs, their future, you know, employment prospects in politics. We all know politics is a very small world.
Absolutely. So, Dick Dady, is there a way to have public accountability for the elected officials but still protect the privacy of these victims for the sake, as Wendy points out, of their future employability?
Most certainly. And that's what our point has been about this all along, is that the privacy, you know, the privacy of the victims should be protected at all costs. But the actual sexual harassment charges and the elected official involved in them should be disclosed and the terms of the settlement revealed. I think that, you know, there may have been a one of the motivating factors here in keeping this secret was not so much to protect the privacy of the victims, but also to protect the privacy of Vito Lopez and not to embarrass him politically. I think that may have been an underlying circumstance for this decision.
Brian in Glen Cove, you're on WNYC. Hi, Brian.
Yeah, how you doing, Brian? I was wondering if you guess any information on the involvement of Attorney General Eric Schneiderman in approving any of this, and also Comptroller Tom DiNapoli, who had to cut the check to make this payment. So that came out of there, you know, out of the state funds.
Yes, and you beat me to the punch on this question, which was going to come up. The Times, as you must know, Dick, has a story today about how both DiNapoli and Schneiderman are trying to downplay their roles. What questions do you have about that, and what answers?
Well, we don't really have all the answers, which is why, you know, this investigation, this wide-ranging investigation, needs to also look at the way in which their offices handled these matters, because it clearly was taken too lightly by Attorney General Schneiderman's office and too formally by Comptroller DiNapoli's office. It's clear that neither of the two men were directly involved, but then why not? This involves public funds to assist a public official, an elected official, settle a sexual harassment case. Why was not these two men consulted or brought into it? There's something wrong about the procedure if matters of settling sexual harassment lawsuits are dealt with in such a perfunctory way that the two top statewide elected officials are not involved in these matters. The procedure and the process within each of their offices was not appropriate given this case.
Is it too far-fetched to say there are even ramifications for this Thursday's New York State primary, which is for state legislature seats? This was all revealed about Lopez too late for anyone to mount a primary challenge against him in his Brooklyn district. Maybe if it had been revealed in a timely manner, someone could have challenged him. And Lopez, as the Brooklyn Democratic Party leader, even gets to pick most of the candidates for the rest of the seats, doesn't he?
You're exactly right, Brian. I mean, had this been disclosed at the time that this occurred back in May, I'm sure that a candidate would have come forward and circulated petitions to get on the ballot this summer. The fact that it was disclosed in August means no one is on the ballot this week against him. It's an outrage that was one of the consequences. You know, there are candidates who are running who are very closely aligned, running for other seats that are very closely aligned with Vito Lopez, and they may pay the political price. I know there's a very competitive district leader race in his district between a pro-Vito Lopez and an anti-Vito Lopez candidate, and I'm sure that will have an impact on the outcome in that, as well as, you know, State Senator Martin DeLon has a competitive primary election, and he's very closely tied to Vito Lopez, and I'm sure that will have be an important factor in that race as well.
We're out of time in 30 seconds, but what ball should people keep their eyes on now? Is all the action going to rest with Dan Donovan, the special counsel, the Staten Island DA, who now has broad powers to look into this?
I think it's with Dan Donovan, and also I think it's with Jay Cope, this new ethics watchdog. How quickly they address this issue, and what happens when they issue their private findings to the Legislative Ethics Commission, and what the Legislative Ethics Commission then does in determining what went wrong.
Dick Dady, Executive Director of the Citizens Union, a lead voice in making sure people take seriously the Vito Lopez scandal and all its ramifications. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Brian. Brian.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. Up next, we have Lowell Hawthorne, founder of the Golden Crust Bakery, on Jamaican patties, Jamaican pride, and did he build that business? Stay with us.